I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You can live a long, healthy life if you're HIV positive. With the current treatments, we can get patients down to being undetectable.
The array of options is so much greater today.
U equals U. Undetectable equals untransmittable. If someone who's HIV positive, they're taking their medication, they're undetectable, they're not able to pass HIV to their partners. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your HIV treatment is their prevention. Get more information at doitforumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Welcome back, Rush Nation, to the 5 Yard Rush Daily Fantasy Sport Podcast. Nailed that this week, Mark.
Yes.
We muddled up the words last week, but we are back with the correct podcast this week. I do take full ownership. It was me, but no need to dwell. We're back again. Your host, as always, Nick Owen, and joining me is one of my favourite people when it comes to talking NFL. It is, of course, Sir Mark Ferguson. How are we doing, Mark, this week?
Oh, yeah, I had a very, very disappointing week last week, I think, as a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Very weird slate. Low scoring. When Traquan Smith is in the top five scorers, you know it's been a tricky week. The highest score, I think, was only 27 points by Travis Kelce. So, yeah, I am glad to move on to this weekend, really. What about yourself?
Yeah, pretty much the same. A lot of poor performances from big names and highly owned names as well. Was glad that I, you know, hit on some like Cam Akers and Travis Kelce, but it outside of that, it was very much just, you know, Michael Thomas zeros. No one expects zeros there from the slot guy. It was just a poor weekend. There's not much more to say on that, Mark. I know I didn't really have any returns there on any of my lineups, and I did separate lineups for the Saturday and the Sunday, and I did joint lineups as well. And I was just very unfortunate. I had Lamar Jackson in quite a few, and obviously he exited the game early, and I had Pat Mahomes in a few. So even though he scored modestly well, I suppose, for a quarterback with 21.6, he's overall output was limited because he did exit the game, but not a great weekend. As you said, I'm glad that one's over and done with, and we're moving on to the conference championship this weekend. One thing I will just touch on before we do move on to the conference championship is an absolutely amazing opportunity that we've got for the listeners of the show, but also followers of the 5 Yard Rush. So anyone that follows the 5 Yard Rush on Twitter may have seen within the last, I believe it's only the last 12 hours that it's been announced, Mark. But we have teamed up with the absolutely gorgeously tasting smokehouse Hickories. And we are providing a Super Bowl feast for a lucky winner. And the way that this will work is to enter the competition. There's no cost. You just have to follow the 5-yard rush. So that is on Twitter at 5-yard rush. And also following Hickories, which is at Hickories _. And the tweet is pinned to the 5-yard rush Twitter page. So it'll be the top one that you see. Just tag two of your friends in there. And the Super Bowl feast, if you are the fortunate winner, will be delivered to your door in time for the action in February when the Super Bowl takes place. So, great contest. Hickories is such a nice place to eat. I know we were talking about it prior to the pod, and you've never actually been to Hickories, have you, Mark? But I certainly have, and it's so nice. You would be absolutely crazy to miss out on that. So, get following the 5-yard rush, get following Hickories, tag two of your friends in that post, and you could be absolutely pigging out on the meat when it comes to Super Bowl Sunday.
See, that's why I can't win this competition. It's tagging two friends.
Yeah.
I don't have two friends.
I've actually been tagged by a friend already, and I was like, no, why have you done that? You've wasted a tag. I cannot win. You will not win this now. So any of my friends that do listen, any of them that have seen it, do not tag me. I cannot win this contest. I am a staff, if you want to call it that, at 5-yard rush. You know, we're colleagues. We cannot win it. It would not be fair. So please stop tagging me. You're only doing yourself an injustice by doing that. But thanks very much for the sentiment. I do appreciate that, and I would love to win it. But unfortunately, the next Hickories I have, I will be paying for.
I'll work on finding a second friend before next year's Super Bowl. Who I can then tag in these competitions.
Conference Championship weekend then, Mark. So, sadly, we've got no games on the Saturday this week. I was starting to get used to that after a couple of weeks, but we're back to just full Sunday slate now. So, we've got the Tampa Bay Bucks at the Packers as the game at 8:05 on Sunday. And then we've got the 11:40 game, which is Bills at Chiefs. This is two fantastic matchups. Which are you, I mean, there's only two, Mark, but which are you most looking forward to, or can you not split them at the moment?
Well, from a fantasy point of view, Bills and Chiefs is the obvious one to be most excited, but actually from a football point of view, the Battle of the Bays is the one that interests me more.
Yeah.
I think that's a hard one to call, and I'll see how it will go. So,
I think they're both difficult games to call. I'd still favour the Chiefs over the Bills if Patrick Mahomes is good to go. The Packers and Bucks, very very split on that, very divided in who I think will come out on top there. I sort of want the Packers to come out on top because I think Aaron Rodgers deserves another ring. However, I know that Murphy's a Bucks fan and Tom Brady's done absolute wonders there for a 43-year-old quarterback this season. So I wouldn't mind the Packers, of course, winning for Murph's benefit. I've got no ties in the other game, the Chiefs and the Bills. Mm. It would be great to see the Bills reach the Super Bowl, but I feel like it would also be great to see the Chiefs actually go back and repeat and do it again. So no loyalties there at all, but I'm really looking forward to this weekend's games, Mark. We will dissect them, of course. So we've just got one slate this week, which is the Sunday slate. We've got an even smaller pool of players to be choosing from. Very small pool of players. We're almost.
It's an easy pod this week. We just name every player. Name every player. And then we'll take a victory lap next week.
We're almost
Super Bowl show.
We're almost at the point where it's not a pool of players anymore. It's more just like a little puddle of players, yeah, if you want to call it.
It is a puddle of players. So, especially at running back.
Yeah, definitely. We'll do what we've done in previous weeks, Mark, I think. We'll just look at the games and who we're liking from those games. There's only two to choose from. We'll start with the Tampa Bay at Green Bay game because, of course, that is the one that's kicking us off. So anyone that's standing out here for you this week?
I think so. There's four good quarterbacks in this slate, but I suspect a lot of ownership will be on Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. So
yeah.
I think there's a chance. I say low ownership. I'm just relatively speaking, it'll be low ownership because there's only four options. But I think Brady and Rodgers could probably be had pretty cheap, as it were, for you know, cheap as in low ownership. I think in this game, there's the obvious receiving options in terms of Adams and the trio of Tampa Bay receivers. I expect Antonio Brown will probably end up back on the field. They didn't do much last week, but I don't think that's going to happen again this week. But if you're looking to differentiate yourself a little bit, I think Ronald Jones might be the play this week. He didn't last week. Fournette scored a lot of fantasy points, but Ronald Jones still had plenty of work. He had like 13 carries and a target, I think. And that was his first week back after injury. Generally speaking, when they've both been available, Arians has preferred Jones to Fournette.
Yeah, throughout the season, yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's some pretty obvious options. And again, we could just be daft to name every single player. But if I had to pick one as a sort of potentially a difference maker, because the lineups are going to be so similar this week in the big field contest, Ronald Jones might be the play for me.
I think that is what's going to be the difference, isn't it? Because I would suspect that Devontae Adams is going to be such high ownership. You know, your big hitters are all going to be high ownership across the two games. But yeah, I'd really like that pick. And strangely enough, Mark, I'd put Leonard Fournette in there's one lineup that I'm looking at right now, and Leonard Fournette is in that. And I remember looking at Jones and thinking, oh, he doesn't look like he's actually the feature back, but important to note that he was coming off that quadriceps injury. So you could be absolutely right. I think it feels a bit like a hot hand kind of thing in Tampa Bay, because I remember early on in the season they were giving a little bit of work to Fournette, but then Jones had a couple of runs of games where he really performed, and it shot him to the top of the depth chart. Unfortunate for him that he's had his injury. But Fournette played well last week. One thing I think is guaranteed with this is I think that could potentially be the key to this game. One thing the Rams did very well last week, I say one thing, pretty much the only thing they did well last week, was run the ball successfully against this defense. And we've seen so many teams do it this season. So is it potentially feasible that Fournette and Jones are both a play this week if you had them both in your lineup?
Definitely. If you've got enough lineups as well, definitely. The thing about Fournette is he was a healthy scratch at some points in the second half of the season, which, again, makes me a bit wary of him. And he's the second most expensive running back, I think.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. I mean, this shows you how poor the running back position is this week and how hard it is. But yeah, you could definitely put the both of them in there. If you think that, you know, Tampa Bay is just going to run to try and keep Rodgers and Adams off the field, which, you know, is quite a popular sort of strategy, then yeah. I think I find it weird on the other side, though, that Aaron Jones is the most expensive running back on the slate when you look at like how little usage he generally gets. I mean, if he doesn't hit a long one or score a touchdown or two, he doesn't score many points.
Well, last week alone, 14 rushing attempts, 99 yards. But you can take, or if you do take one of those away that went for 60 yards, you're looking at 13 rushing attempts for 39 yards. So it's a big difference that the usage drops right down there. One thing I was just looking at between Fournette and Jones, even though Fournette, of course, was the standout scorer between the two last week, he wasn't anywhere near as efficient as Jones was. He was averaging 3.7 yards per carry, where Jones was averaging 4.8 yards per carry. That's interesting.
Yeah, and actually the difference in carries was only 4. So, and that was Jones coming back from injury after being off for a few weeks. So I think it's such a tricky position running back. I personally think, and I'll talk about this when we're talking about the Bills-Chiefs game, there's another area which is going to actually differentiate your lineups from being, you know, good or average to really successful. We'll come back to that. But this running back position is so tricky to choose.
Yeah. One name that you mentioned last week, Mark, was Robert Tonyan. You liked as a bit of a differential play, a bit of budget at tight end. Yeah. He's actually dropped in price this week to 3.6.
Yeah.
Someone that you've got your eye on.
Yeah, he's definitely in the pool, as it were. But because if you're not going to pay the 8K for Kelsey, then what options have you got? Yeah, I mean, he's going to be the second. He's going to be quite popular, isn't he? It's going to be Kelsey and Tonyan. Kelsey does take up a lot of salary.
He does, but he's by far the safest play. I think even if you were including any Chiefs receiver in that, I think he is the safest play this weekend, probably potentially from that matchup, other than maybe Diggs, who we know gets his targets and gets his yards. But he's so consistent, Kelsey. He's not had a score of less than 22 for the past 5 weeks, and he's brought 30 twice. And come close a third time.
I think if you want to play other big player receivers, if you want to play more than one of them, then you're going to have to possibly take Kelsey out of your lineup. So Tonyan seems like the second best option, but I think we'll come back to one of my old favourites in the next game as another way to even save even more money, because Tonyan doesn't exactly set the world on fire, does he? He really doesn't.
You mentioned, Mark, that we've got four quarterbacks. So I know that your interest is mainly in the Buffalo and Kansas City game. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. If you were picking one out of the two, who are you favouring this week?
Rodgers.
Yeah, I can't disagree. He's the one that I've got lined up at the moment.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady, I think Rodgers might be the lowest owned, just because the Tampa Bay Bucks defense has such a good reputation.
Mm.
Yeah, the Bills Chiefs defense don't have a very good reputation in terms of that. And quickly checking this out.
Interestingly,
Green Bay's got a good pass defense as well, hasn't it? So
the Tampa Bay defense is very, very good against the run when you look at points scored against, but they're only a middling defense against quarterbacks, whereas Green Bay's defense is ranked as the third best against quarterbacks, which is interesting.
Yeah. I think they'll both be a lot lower owned than Mahomes and Allen. So I think you can go either way. If you want the savings, obviously go for Tom Brady. He has got a little bit of a history of turning up in big games. So
I think with Mahomes, I think is definitely going to be the high owned, because it doesn't look like the potential concussion is going to hold him out. He's apparently expected to practice on Wednesday. So if that is the case, then, he'll be in pads when it comes to Sunday, definitely.
The thing about Mahomes is before he got injured, and before he, he got knocked out, he was actually limping because he'd injured his toe, and he was visibly limping as well.
Yeah.
And so that and toe injuries sounds so minor, but in the NFL, they're massive.
Mm.
And, he would have been running on that in pure adrenaline during the game, etc. But obviously that's stopped now. So, he might have some issues. I mean, he's just one of those quarterbacks who can literally stand statue still and throw the ball 60 yards. So he has that in his favour.
Yeah.
But his mobility would definitely be affected, I should think. So just something to bear in mind with Mahomes.
Yeah, definitely. Toe injuries, they can be huge. Just ask David Hay. I know it's a different sport, but David Hay was injured his little toe and for some reason forgot how to box. So we can see what toe injuries can actually do to you.
In terms of, I hope he's not a listener.
Yeah, I apologize, David, if you are. In terms of the Green Bay and Tampa Bay game, Mark, I know you touched on the receivers as well, and I suspect that Devontae Adams is going to be in almost every lineup there is. You've then got the three guys from Tampa Bay, Evans, Godwin, Brown, all priced, Godwin and Evans priced fairly similar. Brown is the cheapest of the three at $4,700. The budget receivers, if you want to call it that, from this game, your Alan Lazard, your Valdez Scantling are priced lower than the lot. So is there any there that you're including? We saw Lazard last week had that big breakaway score. But outside of that, it wouldn't have really been that productive. And likewise, the same for MVS as well. He didn't really have much of a say in the game despite being targeted 8 times.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for consistency, you don't choose anybody, either of those two. But obviously, you brought this up last week about MVS and his big playability, which may well be the difference. Well be the difference in this weekend. So if you're playing, depends on the sort of contest you're in. If you're in a large field contest and you think you need to have people like this, again, now we've got a little bit more to talk about that when we talk about the Bills-Chiefs game. If you're playing in small field contests, then I think you probably want to go for safer plays than that.
Yeah.
More consistent plays.
The last thing, and again, we've defenses in recent weeks, a cheap defense has tended to perform quite well. It unfortunately didn't happen last week with the Rams, but the Bucs are the cheapest defense of this slate at 2,700. The Bills are at 2,800, the Chiefs at 3,100, and then the Packers at 3,600, staggeringly. Mm. Is the Bucs defense one that you're looking at, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, as I said every week, I pick the defense based on how much money I've got left. It's always the last thought of me that I find it weird that the Packers is 900 more than the Bucks, don't you? Very odd.
It's almost as if they're predicting that this game will be not necessarily heavily scored in favour of Green Bay, but Green Bay should come away a comfortable winner potentially for the defence to be ranked there. I don't know. That's the impression I'm getting. But when you look at the actual points per game, Tampa Bay's is the second highest on that list, just behind the Bills by 0.3 per game. So, and we know that they are a good defense, and they seem to have turned it on at the right time as well.
Definitely, yeah, that's very odd.
I think we've done the Green Bay and Tampa Bay game almost to death there, Mark. So we'll move on then to the game that you are most excited about, which is, of course, the Buffalo Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs. So I know that you did say earlier that you've pretty much got your eye on everyone in this game, but enlighten our listeners, Mark. Who is it that's making it the way to your lineup?
not everybody, but like Josh Allen's only 6.9K. You know, Josh Allen's my favourite non-Washington player, so I find that very interesting. I think at the running back position, again, it's very tricky. In the first game between these two teams in week 6, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 26 carries and 4 targets. They weren't very run-heavy, the Chiefs. I don't know if they're going to again. We don't know if he'll be back, if he's going to split carries. I'm interested on your views on that. Singletary is the only running back in Buffalo, but they don't really run. So I just more questions about the running back position.
I'm just looking at Edwards-Helaire, and obviously he was completely inactive last week, wasn't he? And Adam Schefter is saying that it's left ankle sprain and left hip strain. Now, we know that ankle sprains can be very difficult, not very difficult to recover from, because that's not true, but it can take time to recover from. It can take weeks. Very painful injury, especially for a running back who all of your sort of your elusiveness, all of your burst is coming from those small little adjustments that you're making in plays. And if you've got a bit of a gammy ankle, then for me, I'm not looking at Edwards-Helaire this week. If he's good to go, he'd definitely be in consideration. But for me, I'm playoff Darrell Williams seems to have emerged again to save the Chiefs. He did this last year in the playoffs and played really well, and they went and drafted Edwards-Helaire. But he's had a decent game, I suppose, last week. He 3 times his value, really, at 4,000, finished on 13.4 points. He's priced a bit more modestly, I suppose, this week at 4,800, as you'd expect, given that they're obviously assuming he's going to be taking the lion's share of the carries again. Le'Veon Bell is a strange one, because he there was no sort of designation tag on him last week, but 2 rushing attempts for 6 yards. What happened there, Mark? Where is Le'Veon Bell?
He's just not part of their offense really at all, is he? He hasn't been.
It seemed a strange pickup, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's strange how these players sometimes just look look so bad in different situations.
Yeah.
Where he's looked like one of the greatest running backs of all time in Pittsburgh, and then he just doesn't look good.
I say it seemed a strange pickup. At the time, I suppose it seemed almost a sensible pickup, because I know Edwards-Helaire was having some struggles actually finding the end zone. But he's had some decent performances since Bell has actually arrived in Kansas. So, yeah, I don't know, strange one that. But that is that's one of those games. I mean, we know on the Buffalo side of the ball, you can't have any faith at all in Devin Singletary doing anything in this game. Zach Moss, of course, is out. The most valuable running back for the Bills is actually Josh Allen, and he's even at the goal line, he's the one that's if there is a rush to the end zone, it's usually him that's doing it, potentially on a broken down play or an actual designed play. So this is tough, I think, with the running backs in this game. Like I said, Darrell Williams is the one that I've got my eye on at the moment, but that could all change if Edwards-Helaire is right to go on Sunday. If he's fit and he's suited up, it's difficult, because I think if that's the case, he's going to take some of the carries away, definitely.
The only way the Singletary works for me is if the Bills do the old Bill Belichick thing of suddenly coming out and doing something very different to what they've done the rest of the year. As in, they just start running and running and running.
Yeah.
And then Singletary is going to look like an absolute bargain. But why would they change a formula that's been working for them?
Yeah, yeah. He is actually quite an efficient back over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. He's 4.4 yards on average per rush, but there just isn't really, I watch him playing, there just isn't really like a significant strength to his game that he can fall back on. And I don't know if that's why he's just a bit underutilized, or why they felt that they needed to draft Zach Moss to have a bit more punch at the goal line. I'm not sure, Mark, but when I watched Devin Singletary play, he's a decent player, but I've no faith in actually starting him in this kind of lineup. But it could be the kind of player where if you do start him, because he's likely to be low ownership, that could turn your matchup for you.
But Singletary and Ronald Jones in a lineup, start them off together. Oh, you should have a fair bit of money spent left for the big receivers.
If you hit on both of those, you're going to be a happy guy, because they're, like you said, both you would assume will be low ownership. There's obviously a lot of receivers to pick from in this game. Too many, almost. I'm looking at my lineup right now, and the only Kansas City guy I've actually got in is Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill's not that consistent. For his price, he's really not that consistent fantasy points wise. He's come down to 7.2, so which actually, you know, is quite a drop from where he was. He was at nine week 16, but he just hasn't been. If you look at it, he's got some big games and stuff, and he had a patch in the middle of the season where he was doing very well. But since sort of week 13, he's been very up and down, and obviously he was injured for some of it. So yeah, I can get why you wouldn't pick Tyreek Hill. I think Stephon Diggs will probably be as highly owned as Kelce.
Yeah.
Or Adams. The funny thing about Buffalo is they have a really great passing attack fantasy points wise, as in they, I think they scored, like, if not the top, the most, definitely in the top two fantasy points as a whole offense in the passing attack. But then last week, Cole Beasley and Gabriel Davis both scored zero. You know, the week before that, John Brown scored zero. So this kind of comes to where I think in your fantasy lineups, I think how you choose the receivers you choose between that 4.5 to 3.5K range, that is going to be the difference maker at the top of the boards.
Because
there's a few options there, and on their day, they can all do well, but there's no particular reason to beforehand to suspect one is going to be better than the other. So, I mean, anybody who comes out afterwards and says, oh, yeah, I was always on Cole Beasley, they don't have a real reason for that. It's just a punt, you know? We saw that a little bit last week with people saying about Traquan Smith and stuff, like taking their victory lap on that, you know? you know, you're going to get it right. You know, broken clock is right twice a day and all that. And I think between the 4.5 and the 3K wide receivers, you're going to get lucky or you don't. And I think it could make a big difference.
Your mate Isaiah McKenzie only had two targets, two receptions, mind, but two targets last week as well. Yeah. And he's priced at 3,100. I completely agree with you, Mark, that I think outside of the top receivers who you suspect will be very highly owned, it's a complete punt. Complete punt. Mm-hmm. I've actually got Gabriel Davis in a lineup at the moment because I know he put up a big fat zero last week, but I think, again, in terms of game script, I think this game is going to force Buffalo to throw the ball as much as Kansas City maybe throwing the ball. So I just like him for that reason. There's no other specific sort of thing I can pinpoint at this stage because he's not shown the consistency. He's had some red zone targets, of course, but outside of Diggs, Adams, Hill, this is one where, like you said, if you pick the right receiver on the right week, you have a chance of winning the money, but there's also a high chance that you're going to get it wrong.
And I think this week, because as we've discussed, the running back position is so inconsistent, for want of a better phrase, I think four receivers is going to be the way to go this week for the optimal lineup. Possibly two tight ends, maybe, for some money saving.
Yeah.
But I think that's the way to go. And therefore, they become very important. I think Dawson Knox, who I seem to pick every week now, at 2.8K, you know, if he falls into the end zone, he's in your lineup, is he?
No, but I was just about going to come to him. I was thinking, oh, Mark's old mate Dawson Knox is there at 2.8. I wonder if Dawson Knox is knocking about in the lineup this week.
I think if he falls into the end zone, you've got what you want out of him. In the red zone, Josh Allen does seem to like him in the red zone. I'm not sure if I would necessarily play him instead of Kelsey if I was making one lineup and if I was in a small field contest. But maybe you put him in as a flex play. Maybe.
Cheap, it definitely allows you to put budget elsewhere. So I could see why that potentially is feasible.
I mean, is he? Do you really think he's any less likely to hit value than, say, Lazard or MVS, for example?
No, I wouldn't necessarily.
They have bigger upside. They can hit a big play at any moment, but you can't call that. Nobody can call the big play. Nobody can say specifically Lazard was going to get that big play last week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, thinking about it beforehand, you know, not looking at the results afterwards and talking in hindsight, Dawson Knox at only 2.8K, is he really a worse option than Lazard and MVS, who are a lot more expensive?
I would say not. I suppose, like you said, that big playability maybe swings it the other way, but then at the same
time... And in large field contests, it should do.
Yeah. Then at the same time, Dawson Knox is a tight end, and we know that tight ends notoriously are targeted when it gets to the red zone area, so... In fact, if I look back on Dawson Knox's scores, when he had a touchdown at Denver in week 15, he had a touchdown against Indianapolis in week 18, I'm almost certain both of those were just short dump offs and end zone touchdown. And that's what you get from a tight end. So there's always that chance that if they get down there, he's got that chance to score. Whereas with the others, you are pretty much relying on, you're not going to get a volume game like you would with Devontae Adams or a high yardage game unless they do break off one of those big plays like we saw with Lazard last week. If you take that away from him last week, which was essentially down to blown coverage, no one picking him up, if you take that away, it's a very, very average stat line. So,
yeah. And nobody can predict those big plays. They're part of the variance and stuff. This would be a great subject when we do some strategy stuff in the off-season. This is kind of a great example of it. And we'll see how it plays out this weekend. Now, it doesn't matter what the result is. Personally, I think the theory is the same still. You know, you talk about the big playability and stuff. Take away that Aaron Jones 60-yard run. He still scored more points than Dawson Knox. Yeah. He's over twice the price. So looking at it beforehand, it all comes down to the contest you're in. If you're playing 100,000 people, you need to pick the big play player. If you're playing 237 people, go for a bit more consistency.
Yeah.
And if you're just trying to, and if you're just spending little bits of money, then, you know, they're all the same, really.
Yeah. I know we touched on the defence, and it's not something we need to talk about for a long time at all, Mark, because we know the story with defences. But, you know, the Tampa Bay is the one that is the cheapest. The Bills is 2,800. Mm. The Chiefs is 3,100. So they're all there and thereabouts in terms of price. Is there any defense that you're favoring here over the Bucs defense?
Not particularly favoring, but the Bills makes more sense out of the two for me, just because I, you know, we all expect Mahomes to pass concussion protocol, but we don't know how this toe injury is going to affect him. And if it puts his mechanics off, he could easily, with his strong arm, he could even easily sail some passes, get intercepted, etc., etc.
Yeah. The Bills' defense is pretty consistent as well in terms of there's usually a good, you know, 3 to 4 sacks there most weeks. Mm-hmm. There's usually a turnover there as a bare minimum, either an interception or a fumble recovery. So they've got that big playability that you want from a defense, the point scoring ability that you'd want from a defense. So if I was looking at one of the two, I would probably say Buffalo would be the one I'd go for there as well. And part of that is probably just because it's $300 cheaper as well.
Yep. It's again, defense is so variable. Anybody who says they know what's going to happen with the defensive scoring before the game is not telling you the truth. Yeah. It's so random. So just pick the defense that fits in best for you the rest of your lineup.
Mark, we said this was going to be short and sweet, but I feel like we've been 40 minutes again.
we've done quite well on that, haven't we?
Yeah.
We're trying to do an hour on the Super Bowl when it's only two teams. We'll literally start talking about...
Be a lot of in-depth stuff, though. A lot of next-gen stuff coming out.
We might need to get someone like Stocks and Murph on to talk about fifth-string practice squad receivers and things like that there and stuff. And like,
we might even have to do a Pro Bowl review to bulk that out as well.
Oh, gosh.
Fun as always, Mark. One thing I didn't mention last week is where the listeners can, of course, find us. So I am on Twitter at Nick of Wigan. Mark, where can the listeners find yourself?
I'm at _SMRF, taking applications for Fred number 2, ready for next year's Super Bowl competition.
If anyone did miss it at the start of the pod, I will just mention again that you should, if you've not already, be heading over to @5YardRush. We have a Super Bowl feast up for grabs. Follow @5YardRush on Twitter and follow Hickories @Hickories_. There is a pinned tweet on the 5-Yard Rush site. Just comment 2 of your mates on there. Do not tag us. We can't win it. Don't tag any of the 5-Yard guys. They can't win it either. This is just for you, the listeners and the followers. Tag 2 of your mates and you stand a chance at winning a Super Bowl feast that will be delivered directly to your door. Best of luck with that. Best of luck, Mark, with your lineups this weekend. Mm-hmm. And best of luck, the listeners, with yours as well, hopefully. Smaller pool. We might see some winners next time we're talking. We will see. Mark, I've enjoyed this. I look forward to the next one, which will likely come in a couple of weeks because I doubt we'll be doing one for the Pro Bowl.
I don't play Pro Bowl DFS.
Be a couple of weeks until the listeners hear from us again. But thanks, as always, for listening, guys. Gamble responsibly, as we always tell you, and as the bookies, of course, tell you. It is your money that you're playing with. But for this format, the most important thing that the listeners should do, Mark, is...
draft responsibly.
Correct. See you in a couple of weeks.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.